sometimes problems aren't visible to the naked eye or even your standard microscope. In 2006, Dr. Tony Ying, an engineer at the U.S. Mint in Washington, D.C., and a team of nanomechanical scientists at the National Institutes of Standards and Technology set out to find a solution to a very tiny problem. Now that solution saves the U.S. Mint roughly $2 million per year. Dr. Ying says,
if you want to make a beautiful coin, you first make a beautiful blank.
Each blank becomes a coin after a pair of die strikes it. An average die for a dime used to last about 100 to 150,000 strikes. That was a short life in Ying's mind. The dies seem to wear out and crack or break rather quickly. He wanted to know why. In 2006, he started looking at the lifespan of each die and began to generate a research database. Dr. Ying took his research to the National Institute of Standards and Technology. There he met up with a former colleague, Dr. Richard Gates, who heads the Nanomechanical Properties Group. Ying had worked at NIST when he was studying for his PhD and knew Dr. Gates, a nanotribologist, had the resources he needed.
Tribo just means to rub. So basically, tribology is just the study of rubbing. And in more practical terms, it's the study of processes like friction, wear, and lubrication. We actually look at it on the very small scale, on the nanoscale, so-called nanotribology. It just means really, really small. So if you think of what nano might mean, the width of a human hair is about 50 microns, and that's about 50,000 nanometers. So nano is just very, very small. So nanotribology is the study of friction, wear, and lubrication on a very small scale. And it's basically what happens on the surface of a coin during minting. And that's one of the processes that we studied to try to understand what was going on.
The Mint had the coins and the problem to solve, but NIST had the right equipment and the suitable environment.
So we're looking at trying to make all sorts of, not just mechanical, but dimensional measurements, things like that, at very small scales. And so our group actually has a special facility that's buried underground. So our labs are about 12 meters underground. So it's low vibration. It's in a clean room environment, so we filter all the air. When we work there, we have to wear these little bunny suits, the white suits you see people working in Intel and things like that wearing to try to basically protect their experiments from particles and things like that, that people may introduce. We're doing research on such a small scale that dust particles can have an adverse effect on some of the research we're doing.
One machine that Dr. Ying was especially interested in was Fourier Transform Infrared Spectroscopy, or FTIR. It's a piece of equipment found in many labs, but the one at NIST measures down to the atomic layer.
Basically, you're using infrared light and you're shining it off the coin, and the light gets absorbed by chemicals that are on the surface. And by determining the frequency of the absorption from the chemical, you can tell what chemicals are on the surface. And I had also discovered a way of calibrating this process to look at certain bonds that are there. And so we were able to determine not only the presence of certain chemicals or chemical bonds, but also how thick the layer was that was built up. And that was important to the whole process of controlling that process in actually minting in the coins.
Once they were able to look at everything in the lab, the proof was in the pudding. They began to hone in on the lubricant as the culprit for premature wear and compromise of the dyes. But it wasn't just texture. As it turned out, the key to solving the mint's issue was controlling the amount of the lubricant.
When you're minting these coins, you're pressing metal together and it's deforming it under very high pressure. And so you need to protect the die surface from the coin surface so it doesn't get damaged. Basically, over the years, Tony had discovered that most of the problem with the conventional lubricant process came from difficulty in controlling the amount of the lubricant. So it's in some ways like a three bears problem, Goldilocks and the three bears. If you have too little lubricant, you get problems. You get too much lubricant, you get problems. If you have just the right amount, then you can get successful lubrication. And that's what we ended up developing, was basically a monomolecular, a very thin controlled amount of lubricant that was just enough to strike a coin and allow the die life to increase.
And increase it did. The tedious work paid off. Die life has more than doubled since they changed the lubrication process. The Mint is saving roughly $2 million per year in the cost of equipment and time and labor spent replacing the dies. And they're still tracking die life in the database, so they know right away when something goes amiss. Just last year, they saw a drop in die life at the Philadelphia Mint. Dr. Ying said they were able to pinpoint the problem immediately as a defective pump. Without the ongoing database, the problem could have easily gone undetected. These days, scientists and engineers are operating on smaller budgets, like the rest of the government. Feds attend fewer conferences and have to be more creative when it comes to finding opportunities to network across their fields of discipline. But Dr. Gates says that collaboration is how these money-saving ideas are born.
It's actually critical, depending especially in which field you're in. My background is in tribology and tribal chemistry, and these kinds of fields are very multidisciplinary. It relies on not just, you know, one aspect of chemistry or physics or something like that, but material science and all sorts of engineering aspects that are brought in. And it's very hard to get all of those expertises yourself. And so what you tend to find is that when you're facing some sort of a problem, you need to go and seek other people's guidance and expertise. And so that's an important area in tribology, but it's also here at NIST, there's a wealth of information that's available. There's a lot of smart people that are very willing to help you. And so it's a nice environment to be in. Certainly the budget climate has been pared back a little bit to reduce going to conferences and things like that. But scientists are fairly resourceful, and what we try to do is, you know, find cheaper ways to do it and still get out there and still interface with people and do it through the internet maybe instead on video conferencing and on phones and things like that. So there's, you know, ways to perhaps get around it, but it's a critical aspect of being a scientist.
It took about 4 years of research and development before the two organizations arrived at a solution for the lubricant at the Mint. Now they see the fruit of that labor every month as they monitor the Die Life database and the savings in their bottom line. Richard Rubidoux is Division Chief of Engineering for the U.S. Mint.
Any improvement starts with an idea, and in this case, I think you have to really recognize the concept that Tony envisioned and how he carried it through, and it required that he consider a lot of different chemicals or elements that might be used as lubricants, but work to find ones that would create an atomic-level bond, which would make the uniform but very thin layer that we needed to provide the lubrication. So it did take a lot of thought and creativity on his part to achieve that, and it wasn't just a matter of taking certain ones off the shelf and trying them until we found one that worked. He actually had to develop the chemical.
Lauren Larson, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.